to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming in here on one leg, it seems. You know, I got to the studio extra early tonight. I got here about an hour before showtime, which is absolutely unprecedented for me. And I have been met with Murphy's Law, it seems. Got here at 5 o'clock Central Time. Shortly thereafter, Keith Alexander calls me on my cell phone and says that he is not going to be able to make it to the show tonight. He had a last-minute family problem come up, not going to be able to make it. Okay, that was one thing. No big deal. I got Eddie the Bombardier Miller en route downtown right now. I got a couple of great guests lined up. They're going to be joining us in just a second. So I'm figuring, okay, we're going to get past Keith's deal, and we're going to move forward. And I'm not even going to tell you who the guests are, but they're great guests, prize guests. All right, so we're going to keep going. Bill Rowland co-hosting with me the second hour. We're going to be really doing this big continuing coverage on the Trayvon Martin incident. So thinking, okay, well, we weathered the storm with Keith's last-second problem. Now we're moving forward. And then just as I was connecting with the network, there seems to be some sort of a kink in the microphone here, and we're working, the producers are working to get that situated. So we'll see what happens with that. But in the meantime, here's what's going on. I'm going to paint a picture for you here. I am standing, actually sitting here in my normal broadcast chair in the downtown flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio, here in Memphis, Tennessee. But instead of using any of this great equipment I have here at the studio to actually do a radio show, I'm doing the show over my cell phone. So hopefully, it's going to be something that's fixed here before the next segment gets underway. We're going to work during the commercial break. But and that's not all. That's not all. Chat room tonight, Kyle Rogers, our illustrious political cesspool online chat and virtual fan party administrator, is out of town. So the normal chat room at cfcc.org is not in operation tonight. But you can join the makeshift chat room by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org and getting the information there at the top of the blog, and you can log in, just follow the instructions, and it'll guide you through. So let's just see if we've got it all. Keith isn't coming last second scratch. Microphone isn't working yet, doing the phone over the cell phone. We don't have our normal chat room, but we do have, well, the one thing we do have, the one thing you can count on is a great radio show tonight. That much I promise you, one way or the other, it's going to happen. Like every other mainstream media outlet in the country this week, during our live broadcast tonight, as I just mentioned, we are going to continue to discuss at length the ramifications of the Trayvon Martin shooting. Unlike every other mainstream media outlet in the country, we are going to provide you with an objective analysis of this ever-evolving situation. And, you know, it's been dominating our website this week, coverage of this story. Reaction to this story, dominating a great percentage of everything we've covered at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. If you want to take a crash course in everything before we get into it here on the program tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org is the address there at the top of the blog world. You will see a collection of our articles on the matter. And I think we're going to have a pretty interesting show tonight as we move forward. Now, I did not win the lottery last night. I wanted to get that in case anybody was wondering. I did play. For the first time in my life, I played the Mega Millions. How could I not? $500 million on the line. I've done the scratch-off stuff before, but I have never done the, you know, where you pick the numbers and all that stuff, the multiplier and all that. But I did it, though. And I got one for me, one for my wife, one for my daughter. I thought surely between, you know, one of the three, we were going to win this thing. And I'd even started playing out in my mind how I was going to spend the money. And the first thing, you know what kind of guy I am. The first thing that comes to my mind is who I'm going to give the money. And, I started thinking about friends and family and associates that, you know, everybody's getting $1 million. Right off the bat, I was thinking, okay, Keith and Eddie and Winston and Bill, they're all getting $1 million right out of the gate. Sam Bushman definitely getting $1 million. We're going to get the money for the network here. Got him in there. Went down close friends and family. I was going to write out a check with quite a few zeros to anyone who had ever given a donation to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. You're going to get a big, fat rebate and some great return on that investment. I had it all planned out, and then the only thing is I didn't win. I don't know how that happened. Thought for sure it was going to happen, but it did. Did anybody watch that stuff? I mean, it seemed as though everybody I knew who had never played before was playing this time. I mean, lottery fever sweeping the nation, the biggest jackpot in the history, lottery world history, I guess. $640 million. It looks like at least two or three people won this thing. I don't know if it's come forward yet, but that's where we are. Quick word about the chat room. I know it's a lot of announcements here in this first segment. If you're going to the regular chat room at CFCC.org, it is not an operation tonight. We got this makeshift chat room for this week only. This is the only time we'll be here. Apparently, it only lets 10 people in the room. After that, you got to sign in with your email address. You just got to put in your email address. It will send you a password. Then you can enter the room. So I see a lot of people here that are trying to get in the room that can't. Well, you follow the instructions when you log into the chat. Put in your email address, and they'll send you the password to get in. If anyone's listening and they want to participate in the chat tonight, that's the way it's got to be. For this night only, again, we're trying to make the best of a bad situation. Kyle Rogers not being able to administer the chat tonight. I'm sweating here. I'm literally sweating. I'm pacing the floor here with my cell phone, hoping that the microphone is going to work in the next segment, lamenting the fact I didn't hit the Mega Millions last night, and trying to quarterback this thing as it's in motion. I'm quarterbacking this thing while it's live. And I've got a lot to talk to you about tonight. So I got to settle in here, collect my thoughts, get all the notes together, and then for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes, we're going to give you the show that you signed up for. I found out, too, this is another thing. I mean, it's been a pretty crazy week. I found out that I'm inevitably going to die of prostate cancer. I was signing into my email earlier in the day, and you know how when you sign in on your web browser, they have these stories. And so in addition to everything else going on tonight, I got here early, about an hour before the show, and I found out that I was going to expire from prostate cancer at some point. They said 5 ways to tell you're going to die of prostate cancer, or more likely to get it, much more likely to get it. Obviously, heredity and genetic predisposition tops the list. But beyond that, don't ask me why, but they said if your ring finger is longer than your index finger, that's an indicator, something to do with chromosomes when you're born. And sure enough, I thought everybody's was, but my ring finger is longer than my index finger. That was number one. Number two, if you started experiencing balding in your 20s, you're more likely to get prostate cancer. That's number two, so I'm two for two. If you have a dog, 3 for 3. If you're over 6 feet tall, 4 for 4. I tell you, it's been a busy day. Prostate cancer in my future. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction, What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience. What actually worked? As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. TruthBasedLogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool,
okay,
James Edwards.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. We got the microphone working now, so that's good. Things are starting to settle back down. Eddie the Bombardier Miller in. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has come riding to the sound of the guns with Keith Alexander, a late scratch on the night's broadcast, and so here we are. Eddie, did you play the lottery yesterday?
Matter of fact, I've never played it in my life. I guess I should have. Now, my wife played. She didn't win, James.
I was just saying, I was going to give you a million if I hit the 640.
I'll tell you what, I'd sure spend it. I got to spend it already, man.
How would you spend it?
Well,
before we get down into brass tacks tonight, I mean, we've had so much stress as the show has gotten off the ground this evening with everything going on. A bum chat room, Keith Alexander, Mike not working. But now, you know, we're going to have a couple of minutes. Then we're going to get to the guests. Then we're going to get down to the red meat of tonight's show. So it's just one. It's live radio, you know, and we prove that we're live by moments like these. But anyway, how would you spend the money? And then we're going to talk about something else.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. I would buy me an M14, about 1,000 rounds of ammo. I would buy me a.
Is that illegal?
No, it's legal. It's kind of legal. And I'd buy me a Browning automatic, probably in 300 Winchester. I think I'd let my wife go on a cruise, or maybe I'd go on a cruise with her. I'm not that big in cruises, but I would go because she wants to go on a cruise. Probably buy me a little pad somewhere up in the mountains of Arkansas, the Ozarks, something like that, you know. And I might give you a few bucks if I won the thing.
Okay, well, that's good. You know, I could take them, and, you know, we'd bolster what we're doing here. Anyway, but we're not going to win. I got cut off by the commercial in the first segment. I was saying I was found out I'm going to have prostate cancer at some point in my future. Okay, well, hit me with it. You have a medical background.
You know, it's once said, a famous pathologist here, one nationwide, he was an old Mississippi boy, Dr. Russell Blaylock said that a pathologist friend of his said that if he did an autopsy on every 85 to 90-year-old man in the United States, he would have a prostate cancer and would probably be asymptomatic, since you brought that up.
Well,
so you're going to get it. No way. If you live, the only other alternative is to die young. So take your pick.
I'll take prostate cancer, I guess, if it comes down to that. But they said they got these, you know, they're always coming up with something new. They got five ways to tell if you're at a heightened risk of prostate cancer. If your ring finger is longer than your index finger, have you ever heard that?
Well, I know what test they got, though.
What's that?
You can do what they call an alkaline phosphatase, my man. And you can do one look at your ring finger. But I guess I think I'd rather have somebody look at my ring finger than have someone draw my blood.
If you bald in your 20s, which I certainly did, I was gone by 25. If your first daughter is a female, now I don't know how this is a how this predisposes you. If you're over 6'2", and this is going to be one that Eddie. This is going to be one that I'm sure gets all the members of the cesspool staff, although just not with one another. I want to make that clear. If you have a higher than average sex drive, which would, of course, mean more testosterone. Anyway, I was 5 for 5 and a big check on that last one. Anyway, so that's coming up. I did see something. You know, Eddie, I got to get this out there. Another little teaser for what's coming up in the future. And believe me, folks, believe it or not, we are going to have a show tonight. We are going to have a show tonight. In a minute. But coming up next week, we're going to start our Confederate History Month series, Eddie, for 2012. Each year, dating back to the very inception of our broadcast in April, which is officially designated Confederate History Month, we do our tribute to the boys in gray, and we do an hour of each show during the month of April, tribute to the South. Hit me with it, and then I'm going to tell you what I.
No other show in the world that honors the Confederacy and the Confederate soldiers, and they do need to be honored. I've told people 100 million times, we're always being slam-basted. When I say we, I mean Anglo-American, Anglo-Saxon white people. But and they say, well, y'all kept us in slavery. There were 650,000 white guys killed in Lincoln's War, but you never hear, like Pat Buchanan said, when do you hear the thanks, James? I mean, we always hear the complaining and griping, and we want more. When can we have some thanks, man?
Pat said, we've heard the grievances, where's the gratitude? But, there's so much to be proud about, particularly, we're Southerners, Eddie, and so I'm particularly proud of that heritage and that cultural heritage, and so I do my part here with this radio show to foster a sense of pride in who we are. But PBS, Channel 10 here, WKNO, is the local PBS affiliate here in Memphis. And they were doing something that they had a little segment on the Civil War. So you can imagine how this went. Yeah. The only fact that they got right was that coming up next week, it's the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Shiloh, which happened not very far here from Memphis in Tennessee. Just north of the Mississippi border. The Battle of Shiloh was fought 150 years ago this year. It's 150th anniversary. And they had an overweight black woman as the expert on the Battle of Shiloh for PBS. And here's some things that she said. The only thing she got right was that Shiloh was doing the 150-year commemorative reenactment on the battlefield grounds. She said that the Battle of Shiloh featured Robert E. Lee's Army of Mississippi versus Grant's Army of Tennessee.
Well, Mississippi is. I love Mississippi, but I think she's a little bit too far south. I think that was the Army of Northern Virginia with General Lee.
Well, not only was it the Army of Northern Virginia, Eddie, Robert E. Lee never even fought in the Western Theater. He never even fought in Tennessee. All right, so he didn't fight in Shiloh, to be sure. Grant's Army of Tennessee. No, Tennessee didn't fight for useless Grant either. And then she wrapped up her commentary. She said a few more things. She said, at the end of the day, we beat the Southern Army. Now, we beat the Southern Army at the Battle of Shiloh at the Tennessee. And who does she think we were in that particular battle? Anyway, so that's what you get everywhere else here in the political cesspool. Again, quick teaser. It's coming up next week before we dive into tonight's, broadcast next week. Confederate History Month does begin. Okay, Eddie, over to you.
You know, and James and I, we're particularly proud of our Southern heritage. James has one of his relatives still has a blood-stained saddle. One of his relatives was shot. Which battle was that now, James?
That was in Shiloh.
At Shiloh. I have a relative who's a little bit further north in Kentucky. He was a sergeant in the Confederate cavalry in all over, Kentucky and Tennessee. And we're very, very proud of that. The life is so much better since we had lost that war. But I tell you what, I wish that we could teach more of this to our young people in church, in the school, because we get such a raw deal, you know. But it's like Hermann Göring once said at the, you know, at the trials over there, the famous Nuremberg trials. He said, "He who wins the war writes the history, James." But you know, we have so much to be proud of here in the South, but it's all but forgotten. Oh, one last thing. You know, to show you how little people know about the South, they don't even know about the World War II. I was in church about this time last year, and I was talking about General MacArthur, Douglas MacArthur, and I was complaining about how the kids never heard of MacArthur. Hell, the grown-ups didn't. They never heard of General MacArthur, let alone, you know, General Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, but anyway, that's why shows like ours are so important, and so... We'll be doing our bit next week for our next month for the South, which begins next week with the broadcast, first broadcast of April. Anyway, last thing, Eddie, you know, I wanted to rib Keith about this. You know, me and you had lunch with Keith this week when we did our pre-show prep, and Keith is on a diet. Keith is half the man he used to be, and so Keith did it the old-fashioned way. He's motivated me to start a diet. Keith did it the old-fashioned way with exercise and eating right. Well, I'm doing it with pills. So I got some fat-burning pills, and I'm going to, you know, before I got married, I was a lion, always out on the hunt. Once you get married, you turn into kind of like a domesticated cow. So I put on a couple pounds. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done more efficiently than Keith. So
we'll be back right after these messages.
We've got a challenge here. That's what's going on. Well, Eddie's looking at my medallion. All right. When we come back from this next commercial break, we are going to have some fun. We're going to get to our guest, and we're going to start.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com, a bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're settling in tonight. Eddie the Bombardier Miller in studio with me tonight. He was on for a little bit of the greetings and salutations at the top of the program. He's going to kind of sit here with me, and then Eddie the Bombardier Miller is going to be dominating the third hour of tonight's broadcast coming up a little bit later. So you're going to want to hold on tight, because he earned that nickname for a reason. We're going to see what he has in the Bombay doors this evening a little bit later. Now, pinch hitting, though. I'm very excited about our guest this hour, a very good friend of mine, the man who put together the unforgettable event at the National Press Club in the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington, D.C. last fall. Of course, I am talking about the incomparable editor of AlternativeRight.com, Richard Spencer. Richard, thanks for coming on tonight on such very short notice.
Hi, James. I always have time for you.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, I'm sure the listeners are tonight, because it was going to be pretty rough this hour. But thankfully, Richard has come to the rescue, and couldn't be happier about that. Richard, you know what you're on to talk about tonight? It's what everybody is talking about tonight on any broadcast you may be tuned into. It's the Trayvon Martin shooting situation. We talked about it, I don't know, I guess for about an hour and a half last week. So I think people are well familiar with the facts. I mean, it's a story that continues to evolve, and the narrative continues to shift within the so-called mainstream media. But you've been covering it, your writers have been covering it at Alternative Right as well, and I encourage the folks listening to take a look at that. AlternativeRight.com, again, is the address. One article in particular, Why We Don't Care, is something that everyone should take the time to look at. But, Richard, with, I think, again, people understanding the background of the story, I just want to get straight to your take on it. You're thinking about Trayvon Martin. What are you thinking about as you watch this continue to unfold?
Well, actually, James, I think we need to get beyond the facts in this issue. I know that's I think there's an Onion video segment that's jokingly called Beyond the Facts. But what I mean by that is I think we can often get lost in the minutiae of all these things. The fact is that I don't know exactly what happened that night. Neither do you. Even with a full investigation, we might never really know. And then also, I don't really think it matters that much, some of these things that have been brought out about Trayvon Martin by places like the Daily Caller. I mean, clearly that website, they have their interns all over it. They're checking the background of Trayvon Martin. And they're figuring out that he wasn't this little golden boy so much. He actually embraced thug culture, and all that's fine and good.
Right.
But I don't think any of that matters at all, because we're not dealing with facts. We're not dealing with an actual murder investigation or self-defense investigation. What we're dealing with is a myth, and you need to understand it as a myth, or you're going to kind of get lost, you know, going back and forth. Like, I'm going to throw you this tweet that from Trayvon, and you're going to throw back at me some picture of that Zimmerman wasn't attacked or something like that. And we need to understand that it is a myth. This is the kind of myth that motivates the left. And it's this myth of the civil rights movement. It's this myth that Black Americans are these nice innocents just, you know, minding their own business, trying to do some good in the world, and they're being attacked by vile white racists, or I guess a white Hispanic in the case of Zimmerman's case. And that's what we're dealing with. And in many ways, the facts don't matter, because that myth would exist regardless of anything that happened. And that myth is going to be a motivation to take political action that is anti-white, anti-majority, regardless about what happens with this case.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's so many facets to this, Richard, and I appreciate the commentary you just provided. A couple of things I want to add to this before we go any further. You know, we really got to get the formula out here. I got to understand how they deduce a person's race for the purposes of media coverage. Barack Obama is half white and half black, but he's a black man. Zimmerman is half white and half Latino, but he's a white man. So, or perhaps he's half Jewish and half Latino, but nevertheless, he's being introduced as white. Barack Obama also half white, but he's black. I don't get that. But you know,
well, James, think about it this way. Let's say this Zimmerman fellow had gone to a Tea Party rally, and he slipped and fell while on his way there and was all bruised, and then he kind of went to the hospital and told them, oh, I just got back from a Tea Party rally or something. There would probably be some minor scandal about anti-Hispanic racism in the Tea Party, and Zimmerman would be a Hispanic. And then they'd be going, you know, this would be this back and forth, what's the truth? But it would all be about, well, even regardless of the facts of the case, we need to solve this problem of anti-Hispanic racism amongst conservatives or whatever.
Yeah, he would, so, yeah, sure. If he had been the victim of a white attack, Zimmerman would have suddenly changed races and been Hispanic. But and there's no doubt about that. You know, yeah, one thing, though, I'll give the media one thing. You know, they're beginning to lament the fact that facts, God forbid, are beginning to dominate the story. And to the credit of the Sanford Police Department, Richard, you know, mm-hmm. I am sure they are under tremendous pressure to, I mean, obviously they're under tremendous pressure to arrest Zimmerman. The fact that they have not done so after all of this that's come out shows you that there must not be anything there. I mean, it would certainly behoove them mm-hmm. to do this, and they still haven't done it. So first, kudos to them. But as far as the media goes, I mean, God bless them. When their story, when their manufactured story begins to unravel, they show a fierce defiance and just burrow in. I read something, and I want to say, you know, I've read so much about this story. It was on a halfway... Yeah. A halfway respectable website, or at least respectable by establishment standards. Something I want to say it was the Huffington Post or something of the like. I read something mm-hmm. that the new narrative is that Trayvon Martin, the reason he was out late that evening and going to get Skittles and iced tea was because he was taking a break from his SAT studies. And he had a... No, listen, this is the truth. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this wasn't just passed off on some radical left-wing blog. I mean, this was something that was out there.
So
he was taking a break. Because he was boning up for his SATs because he had an interest in being an aeronautics engineer. And that's why he was taking a break that night.
James, this is why there's a gulf in test scores between blacks and whites and Asians. It's because these blacks, every time they try to study for the SAT, every time they get attacked by white people. I mean, it's a nationwide problem.
Well,
you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, this gets to my point of this really isn't about the case. I mean, and again, I am agnostic. I you know, I don't know. This Zimmerman might very well have hunted him down and gone after him unfairly. I mean,
yeah, and let me just say this
very well have happened. I have no idea.
Let me interject this.
About that. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me interject this, Richard, while you're on that thread. And I want to say this, and I said this last week, and I want to say it again just to be clear. The only thing I want out of this case is justice to be served. If Zimmerman is guilty of cold-blooded murder, I want him to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. If he was standing his ground, as they say in Florida, if he was using self-defense as it should be employed, then he should be exonerated, and there should be a month worth of 24/7 apologies from the same media outlets that rushed to burn him at the stake. But the thing is, obviously, What interests me so much about this case is the fomenting of anti-white hatred that the media is doing here. What the media wanted, what they're always looking for, they're hoping that they can find some, you know, ignoramus in a Klansman outfit walking around, you know, looking to shoot a black for no reason whatsoever. But because that never happens, I guess this was the closest to that story as they could get, Zimmerman
yeah,
and Trayvon,
exactly.
And they just jumped at it.
The way I'd describe it, James, is that there is this pre-existing myth out there in their minds, and all the media liberals and even a lot of conservatives too have this myth in their mind, and then finally they see a reality that somewhat kind of sort of adheres to this myth, and then they just jump over it and talk about it all the time. I mean, for instance. I was actually at Duke University as a graduate student during the Duke lacrosse case. And you can remember this happened in 2005, 2006, I guess it lasted 2007. And one thing that I pointed out is that they jumped all over this idea that there is a gang rape by white people of a black woman. The fact is, and they said, oh, this expresses this campus-wide problem of racism, so on and so forth. Literally, if you look at crime reporting, a victim reporting, when you talk to a rape victim and they tell who their attacker was, literally, white-on-black rape does not happen. It is extremely rare. But again, this was just too perfect for them. This idea that jocks had due for raping black women was just too perfect for the campus not to jump on.
Richard, hold on right there. Hold that thought. We're going to come back and continue to draw the parallel between the Duke lacrosse story and Trayvon Martin with Richard Spencer, our guest, right after the break. We gotta get out of this place.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Continuing our coverage this evening in the political cesspool radio program of the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, the biggest story in American history, apparently, because I have known very few stories to get 30 days of absolute saturation coverage. And particularly when you take this, as tragic as it is, and certainly I wish that this had never happened. I wish that there had never been a shooting and that we never knew the names of George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. But for this to be just a pretty much cut and dry shooting, which, again, tragically happens every day in every big city in the country. Why has this gotten to be such a big story? Why has it just burst the banks, 30 days and going strong of national media coverage? I mean, we haven't even gotten – there's no telling how much longer it's going to sustain itself at this point. I can guarantee you, you can expect at least weeks more. But again, Richard, what's your take on this? Why has it lasted so long, the coverage that is, and again, continue to draw the parallels between Duke lacrosse in this case?
Well, unfortunately, manslaughter is the, I believe, leading cause of death for black males between the ages of 12 and 20. So this is really not, and again, I'm not trying to make light of this, but someone named Trayvon, the fact that he's been murdered, this is really not something unusual. It is happening every day, and yet you never really hear about it. And also, I think a lot of the white Americans who are now been subjected to this news coverage the past month, they've really succeeded in isolating themselves away from the Trayvons of the world, whether living in the suburbs or moving to other parts of the country, and so on and so forth. But again, the reason why this was picked up on, and you know, hundreds upon hundreds of black on black crimes that occur in the big cities, is because this fits the myth. I mean, I think that is the best way to put it. You could tell a story, and that's what so much of the news media is about. It's about sound bites, but it's also about a simple story with good and evil that the mass public can grasp immediately. This works because you could tell a story about the evils of white racism and why we need gun control, why we need more anti-hate crime, we need more hate speech legislation, whatever. This works. And that is why they were jumping on it. And as I mentioned before, facts simply don't matter. And
well, you know, it's again just amazing to me. This is the closest the media could get to a white on non-white crime. I mean, apparently. I mean, because certainly if they had a better opportunity to make a case, they would have taken it. But I think this is the closest they could get, and they just didn't want to wait anymore, so they just ran with it. Now, I don't think – you know what I think, and I said this last week, Richard, I said that I think the media is just so lazy and so corrupt and irresponsible that they just saw the name Zimmerman and didn't think that there was a chance in hell that that could be a non-white. And they just ran with it without vetting it. I mean, I think that's probably what happened. And then they got past the point of no return and just had to stick to it.
Yeah. I mean, Zimmerman, I guess, could be a Jewish name. Isn't he literally half Jewish? Is that true?
I have heard that, but I don't think that's accurate.
You don't. It might not be accurate. Who knows? But it is a German name. I mean, if it were a Jewish name, it's a German Jewish name. So essentially, you know, it's too perfect. You know, it's a white person and a German. Twofer.
It could have very well. But could have been.
The other thing is that they. I think it's also a way to have these national dialogues, which is also. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times, not just in my lifetime, but say over the past, say, 4 years, the people have said, some public figure said, we need to finally have a conversation about race. You know, Obama said it, Eric Holder said it. They're saying it now. You know, we need to finally do this. And we have to have a conversation about other things like crime and gun control is another thing. But the thing is, we can't have these conversations because I think even the white Americans who, you know, even the ones that buy into the whole MLK myth, and even the ones that will cow before the accusation of racism and so on and so forth, even these people are just sick and tired of it because they know that any conversation about race, which I think we should have, I think we should finally face up to this. One thing we've been avoiding for centuries, but we should face up to this issue. But they know that if we're going to have a conversation about race in the current media environment, it is going to be about accusing white people of being evil. And even the ones that, again, buy into MLK and have been browbeaten so often, they are sick of it. So there is going to never unless something really dramatically changes, there's going to never be a major conversation about race. The other thing with the whole gun control issue, I mean, this is a kind of interesting point, and I think it might be one that you might not hear on your radio program, which is quite conservative, of course. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I firmly support the Second Amendment. I'm a gun owner. I mean, I think it's a very important part of, you know, our national culture. But I think we should all also kind of look at the other side and see what they're actually saying. And, you know, when you think about it, I think this country is divided. I think the whole gun issue, we can't have a real dialogue about guns because we're not talking about the same thing. And if you talk to people who, say, live in my neck of the woods out here in Montana or in rural America, and you talk about guns, what they mean are, you know, they mean hunting, they mean trap shooting, they mean protecting your family. Those are all good things.
Right.
When you talk to some of these liberals in the city who are interested in gun control, what they mean is that they want to disarm the Trayvon Martins of the world. Now, that might not be a good idea, might not be effective, but that's what they're talking about. And so we can't have a conversation about guns because we're hopelessly divided. We're not even speaking the same language on this issue.
Richard, all good points. We only have a couple of minutes left with you, my friend. And again, I want to thank you for coming on and providing such excellent and exquisite commentary with no prep time whatsoever. But we have a couple of callers on the line. Let's try to get to them before you leave us.
Sure.
You know, we're really big up in Connecticut. We have Rob in Connecticut. Rob, you got 1 minute. What's up, my friend?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. George Zimmerman, for I've heard, he lives in a one-third black town. He has black friends, registered Democrat. I would suspect he considers himself an anti-racist and would not be the sort of person who listens to political cesspools. I doubt he's a member of the CFCC. But the left is jumping on him. Hello, you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. The left is jumping on him as though he was a Klansman hunting, you know, black elementary school kids.
Well, I'm sure. You bring up a great point.
Make multiculturalism work. I mean, he was trying to, you know, keep his neighborhood not have as much crime because, you know, if he prevents people from being victimized, then they're going to be less racist, obviously, where if they get victimized successfully by a black person, you know, they're going to be more racist. So he's their own. He's not a white nationalist, not even close.
Well, because of the a completely overzealous reaction of the black community, of course, we don't know what George Zimmerman thinks because he's in hiding, fearful of his life. There's bounties out for his head. The Black Panthers are saying they don't need the police. They're going to get this guy themselves. I mean, you know, and his lawyer has been hit or miss on these interviews. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of guy George Zimmerman is when, in fact, we get to hear anything from him. Before you respond, Richard, I want to take one more quick call. Very quickly from Colorado. Colorado, are you on the line?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Hey, James, as I was telling your screener there, I sat down and pulled up the Louisville, Kentucky, and, you know, love my Wildcats, but I knew there was something missing. I knew after this somewhat busy day that there really was something more important. I realized what time it was, and turn the game off and turn y'all on. So,
hey, God bless you, my friend, for giving up, choosing us over Rick Pitino and John Calipari. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
No, we do appreciate that. Actually, Keith Alexander's at home watching the game. I shouldn't probably say that. It was a family thing. They made him. They made him. He didn't want to. But anyway, what can we do for you tonight?
Well, hey, you know, I just wanted to run that along to you that you know, there are some of us out here who really look into these problems that, you know, that we keep talking about. And you know, the dialogue on race, and we're never going to win that. I mean, just the Second Amendment, we're never going to win that either. I saw this little poster on Facebook today. Some guy put, one of my Facebook friends put, and he says, you know, arguing with a liberal, you know, it's like playing chess with a pigeon. The pigeon's just going to squawk around and knock your pieces over and crap all over you. And there's just really no point in it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I actually addressed some of this in my speech at American Renaissance last couple of weeks ago. You know, I don't think there's a great number of men on the street that aren't too far removed from us, whether they'll admit it or not. But, you know, hope springs eternal. I watched a movie recently, and there was a quote in it that said, once more into the fray, into the last good fight I'll ever know. I don't know if we're going to win this fight, but we're sure going to have a lot of fun in the attempt. We're coming up on break. I want to give Richard the last word, but thanks so much for choosing us over the Final Four tonight. You've made my night just with that proclamation. Richard, about 30 seconds left. Final word from you, my friend.
1 hour. Well, I agree. Our views aren't going to be expressed.
Actually, they're playing our song. You want to hang on and get that last word in after the break, Richard?
Sure, that's fine.
Hang on. We'll be right back with the second hour, everybody. Stay tuned. In the First Baptist Church, in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.